story is told of a minister who was disturbed to see an ill-dressed old man. I've come appropriately. Going into his church at noon every day and coming out a few minutes later. What could he be doing? He decided to challenge the man, and the next time he saw him, after all, the place contained some valuable furnishings. "I go to pray," the old man said in reply to the minister's question. "Come, come now," said the minister. "You're never long enough in church to pray." "Well, you see," the old man responded, "I cannot pray long prayers. And every day at 12 o'clock, I just comes and says, 'Jesus, it's Jim.' And I waits a minute and then comes away. It's just a little prayer. I guess he hears me." Sometime later, Jim needed some hospital treatment, where the ward sister noticed that he had a wonderful influence on the ward. Grumbling patients became cheerful, and often the ward would ring with laughter. "Well, Jim," said the sister, "the men say that you are responsible for this change in the ward. They say you're always happy." "Aye, sister, that I am. I can't help being happy. You see, it's my visitor. Every day he makes me happy." "Your visitor?" The sister was puzzled. She noticed that Jim's chair was always empty. On visiting times, and he was a lonely man, he got no relations. "Your visitor? But when does he come?" "Every day," Jim replied. "Yep, every day at 12 o'clock, he comes and he stands at the foot of my bed. I see him and he smiles and he says, 'Jim, it's Jesus.'" Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. I just want to read a few verses. I'm going to read from the Message. But if you want to follow in your own Bibles, if you can actually work out where you happen to be based on what the Message is saying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. So pray like this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As you do in heaven, so do on earth. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge, yes? You can do anything you want, yes? You're ablaze in beauty, yes?" I want to just put this morning, if you like, this phrase that we're looking at this morning, I just want to put it into context. And by that, I don't mean where it sits in the Bible, what it meant in the first century compared to what it means now. When I say in context, I mean, where does it sit within the prayer that Jesus himself taught? Some of this you've heard before. If you were here last week, you will have heard that we're reminded that prayer is about relationships. And the foundation of that relationship is between God as our Heavenly Father and us in an intimate parent-child relationship. We were reminded quite interestingly, quite humorously, that we are to get the right words in the right order. The pattern for prayer given to us by Jesus is no exception. The order of the relationships is important. Jesus first leading us through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is the starting point of prayer. So we, when we use these words, remind ourselves about God and the way we come to him as our Heavenly Father, as somebody who is holy, as a king, with a kingdom and subjects. The three phrases that Jesus uses were well known in the first century to those who were taught in the law of the rabbis, the rabbinical law. But normally they'd use them in a slightly different way to the way that we often see them printed. Use them in a different way to the way I've just read. They would know those as let your name, and by that we mean your character, who you are, be kept holy on earth as it is in heaven. They would know it as your kingdom come, meaning give me or show me the big picture. If this is your kingdom in heaven, show me how that earth fits into that. Show me that big picture. On earth, as it is in heaven. And they would know it as my will, your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. We often just tack that bit on the end and think it's only appropriate for perhaps the last phrase. Only when God is in his rightful place, therefore, and time, can we have the right perspective towards ourselves and others. The first section of the Lord's Prayer, which we have covered over the previous 2 weeks, deals with putting God in his rightful place, in our thinking, in our lives, in our hearts. And so this morning we come, in a sense, to the second half of the prayer. When we're talking about requests, petitions, the things that we need. Tempted there to say want. And it's these requests in this second half of the prayer that need to be balanced. And they need to be in line with God's character. Because that's what we've just prayed. May your name be holy. They need to be in line with God's purposes. May your kingdom come. They need to be in line with God's will for each of us. So let's look then at provision. With an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, in a sense, in place, we come to give us our daily bread. As Paul has already said, we may think this is about wants or other things. We may think it's actually purely about our food. We may think it's actually only about food in the bigger sense of all those things that are our needs, our wants, from a physical sense, a physical point of view. But the phrase itself is meant, or is intended, to cover all of our needs, both physical, emotional, and spiritual. And we're talking about needs, not wants. About 100 years ago, it was calculated that the average person had about 70 wants. How they managed to calculate that, I don't really know, but somebody managed it. A survey taken recently showed that the great-grandson of the person who had got 70 wants now has got nearly 500 wants. I'm tempted to say most of them begin with a letter I or a letter X, but that may not necessarily be true. The things that we need, not just to eat, not just to stay alive, but the things that we need to do the Father's will. Some people will argue that that phrase is not appropriate. And in fact, we in the Western world are being very selfish when we pray this prayer. Generally, they state that we have access to everything that we both need and want. But there's something of more significance behind these words. Look at the phrase again. Give us our daily bread. Let me take you back to Exodus chapter 16. When the children of Israel had been in the desert for about a month and a half after leaving Egypt. I'm guessing probably at that point most of the food rations that they'd carried out of Egypt had either run out or they'd gone bad. So they complained. They complained about Moses and they complained about Aaron. And Exodus 16 verses 2 to 4 say this. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people will go out each day and gather enough for that day." God promised the Israelites heavenly food on a 6-day daily basis. On the 6th day, he told them to gather twice as much as they needed so they could rest on the Sabbath. The Israelites had to trust God for their day-to-day provisions of food. In fact, if you read through the whole story of the Israelites in the wilderness, you'll realise that in fact that not only had to trust God for their food, they had to trust God for everything they needed over those 40 years. And if you read the Bible through those first 5 books in particular, you'll find that God provided for their every need. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:34, not to be worried about tomorrow, God wants us to trust him for all the things we need. Not just assume that they will be available because of where we live in the world. I'm going to suggest to you that's probably quite difficult for us today to actually trust God day by day for the things that we need. Give us our daily bread is a petition to God to supply the things he knows that we need. Not the things that we want. And therefore implicit in that prayer is that we trust him to provide. Let me ask you a question. Do we ask God every day for our physical, emotional, spiritual needs, our daily bread? Or is it only when we remember or need something special? You see, prayer is about reminding me about the things I need. In a sense, we have no need to remind God or to tell God what we need, because Matthew 6:8 tells us quite clearly that the Father knows what you need before you ask. But we, as individuals, have to come face to face with our needs on a daily basis. Otherwise, we can become independent. I need this, I'll go and buy it. I need something else, I'll go and buy it. And that may be the method by which you obtain it, but it may be that God actually wants you to rely on him. That independence, unfortunately, has another byproduct. Because over time, our independence makes us withdrawn from that close contact with God and that fellowship that we need. You see, prayer is something that we need as much as we breathe and we eat. God does not need to be told, but we need to tell him. Does that make sense? Let's look then finally in blessing. Still looking at the same phrase, give us this day, give us today, give us for today, for the morrow, our daily bread. Whatever version of that phrase that you want to use. But there are two other things I just want to quickly mention. We've talked about trust, but implicit in a sense in that trust, there has to be, in a sense, a sense of thanksgiving. The practice of saying grace before meals, I guess, is probably quite patchy in present-day society. However, when we pray, give us our daily bread with thankfulness, with sincerity, with meaning, we are actually are building a barrier against self-dependence and ingratitude. All that comes from God must be taken not for granted, but with gratitude. God wants to bless us individually by providing what he knows we need. Perhaps the phrase should say, thank you for giving me my daily bread. Or thank you for giving us our daily bread. You see, there's a couple of small words in these phrases that Jesus taught us, and that the rest, if you like, of this prayer. The phrase we're talking about this morning says, "Give us our daily bread." Who's the us and the our? Is it my family? My fellow believers, my church, my neighbours, my town, my country, my world? So the prayer is not "give me my daily bread," it's "give us our daily bread." It's been said that actually only when everyone cares enough and when everybody shares enough, will everybody have enough. God wants me to trust him. He wants me to be dependent upon him, grateful to him, receive the blessing from him. But it goes much further than that. God wants, through each of us, to bless others around us. God will provide as we trust him to give us our daily bread each day. But there are many times when he will provide more than we need. It is out of this daily provision that we care and share with others, so that God's provision to us becomes a blessing to those around us. Paul used a phrase last week that said, "Speak from the heart." In a sense, I want to add to that phrase this morning and say, God also wants me, he wants you, to care from the heart. Let's just take a moment, shall we, in quiet, in response. Just between God and ourselves, or God and me. Is my relationship with my Heavenly Father as close as it could be? Is it Jesus? It's Ray. Jesus, it's Paul. Jesus, it's Dave. And do I take time to hear? Right? It's Jesus. Do I trust God each day of my life to provide everything he knows I need? Let me ask you this morning, who is my us and ours? Or am I still struggling with the me and my? And finally, how do I respond each day when I know I have enough and some to spare? Let's just be quiet for a few moments before Paul comes and leads us in communion.